And actually, I'm talking to you right now, and Maghrib is about 15 minutes from now. So I prepared the meal for iftar, alhamdulillah, and I'm now talking to you. Alhamdulillah, we are receiving the first day of Ramadan with a high spirit despite everything. And we are so happy to receive the month of Ramadan without the sounds of bombardment and the bloodshed everywhere. As Gaza welcomes this holy month of Ramadan, the atmosphere is really complex. It's layered with grief, exhaustion, but also a very deep spiritual determination. After more than 2 years of devastating war, this is the first Ramadan under a fragile ceasefire. Yet, displacement is still a daily reality. Many families remain in tents or damaged homes. Entire neighborhoods are still in rubble. The loss of loved ones is not something people have moved on, especially for me and my family. We have experienced the loss of a huge number of family members. But despite all of that, Gazans are welcoming Ramadan with celebratory and spiritual feelings that seem to help them endure the hardships they still face. There is something about Ramadan that it's rhyme and it's rituals. It's a collective nature which brings people together and which gives people strength. Even in destruction, the call to the prayer still rises and families gather for iftar, even if it is a simple meal shared inside a tent. Yet it makes people feel happy that they know that the blessings of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend on them on this month. And I'm sure that you have seen these images circulating online, showing lanterns hanging above collapsed buildings, colored lights draped across shattered streets, and banners welcoming Ramadan suspended over rubble. It is a powerful image. Destruction below, a lantern above, children playing in the playgrounds and in the streets, welcoming the Taraweeh prayer. It's really amazing, a strange combination that no one can comprehend except the people of Gaza. So this does not mean that the pain is gone. It means people are refusing to let war erase their identity. Decorating the ruins is not denial, it's resilience. It is saying we are still here. We are preserving our Muslim community and Muslim identity. We still mark this sacred month of Ramadan with our Palestinian spirit and identity that is deeply rooted in this land. So you can see children also helping hang lights where their homes once stood. You can see families cleaning small areas of debris just to create a space for evening gatherings. And these acts may seem small, but in this context, they are still deeply meaningful. And one of the most touching scenes this year is how traditional Ramadan customs are being preserved. Despite the shortages and economic strain, you can still see the small street stalls preparing qataif. And I myself bought qataif from these stalls to feel the traditional, you know, dessert, the Ramadan dessert that marks this month of Ramadan. So without it, it's Ramadan is, you know, tasteless, I can see. You can buy from the vendors and the streets also the rolling sambusa, which is a pastry to be fried after for iftar. So even if the ingredients are limited, but people are doing what they can to keep these flavors alive. And for many families, making qataif or sharing sambusa is not just about food. It's about continuity of the tradition. It's about reminding children that Ramadan still carries joy to them. So these things and these feelings actually are around the atmosphere in Gaza. And it's really beautiful painting you can look at. Alhamdulillah, I can say that this joy that Ramadan comes with this year gives us hope that inshallah we will be rebuilding Gaza soon. Although the basic materials did not enter yet, but despite the fact that many goods are prevented from entering, but still we know that we can build Gaza inshallah with this spirit, with this high spirit we have, and with the lots of prayers that and the supplications that people will have while they are fasting.
Subhanallah, Abir. Yes. It is just absolutely awe-inspiring to see, despite the worst adversity, the worst conditions during the month of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And as you say, that operative word, Palestinians remain resilient. They remain defiant, that despite the genocide, yes, their capacity to maintain their principles, their way of life as Muslims, as proud Palestinians, irrespective of what is happening, that remains awe-inspiring for us. We cannot keep you for too long because it's iftar just around the corner for you. Just in conclusion, Abir, we've seen indications and reports that the Rafah crossing opened very briefly for a couple of days to allow a few Palestinians, but under much duress and difficulty, to enter the besieged enclave. But to return to what? Because some who had come back in had to come back in for medical attention. How difficult was that not? And then secondly, we also remember Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. We see more and more land and property belonging to Palestinians is being stolen and confiscated by the occupation forces.
Yes, that's, you are right. Actually, we heard the news about the Rafah border being opened, but we didn't believe it until we saw it. However, this is just blinding people with this news, because on the ground, the people who can leave for medical treatment outside Gaza are very limited. And the number of people coming back also to Gaza is very, very limited, around 25 person per day, which is something, something that is not worth the trouble. Even we hear about these people coming in, they are being mistreated and abused. The Israeli soldiers on these borders try to actually make the people, the news about the suffering that people have while coming back spread around so that people will not come back. We know that this will serve their biggest goal, to make people migrate outside of Gaza and not come back to Gaza. However, if you look at the embassy, the Palestinian embassies in Cairo or in other countries, the number of people who registered to come back to Gaza is huge. It's not that what to come back to. People prefer to come back to their debris and to the rubbles of their homes, to stay in tents on their destroyed homes, because they have lost their families, but they didn't lose their connection to the land. That's number one. Number two, many of these people who went out of Gaza during the war went out for medical treatment and they left behind their families. Like, for example, a mother, she left her children behind. So how can she live outside or abroad without her family? She'd rather die with her family in Gaza instead of dying alone in some strange countries. So this news about opening the Rafah border, we hope that the number of people allowed to come back or go out for medical treatment to be enlarged, of course, in order to relieve the sick people or the injured. But I'm sure that although Israel does everything in its power to make people displaced or migrate out of Gaza, this will not succeed at all. It didn't succeed before, and it will not succeed now. And if you don't know about the history, this conspiracy has been going on since the last century. So it didn't succeed in the past. That's why it will not succeed now.
Abir Barakat, English lecturer and activist in Gaza. Jazakallah, thanks for your manilah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and blessed Ramadan to you, to your listeners, to everybody in Cape Town, in South Africa, and in all the Muslim world.
Jazakallah khair.